It's Thursday, March 26th, 2015, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to Episode 100, Part 3. Runtime for this episode is 1 hour. Hello, and welcome to Last Time on Video Games. Same episode number, new location. My name is Jeremy.
I'm the second book in a one-part trilogy. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Zach.
Good to see you keeping the form on episode 100, Zach.
What can I say? I'm consistent.
You have had a lot of time to practice it. And yeah. I gotta say, I'm really impressed.
I am the best at saying that my name is Zach.
I don't know. My name is Zach.
And my name is Zach.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think Zach wins of our...
All right, we have 74 more games to get through. So
wow, okay then.
We've been playing games. Next.
Yes. For you, those of you who haven't listened to our first two episode 100s.
First of all,
what's
what
wrong
are you
with
doing?
You?
Yeah, go back and listen. They're great. We are listing all the games we've played. Currently at the top of the list, we have NES Classic Castlevania, closely followed by PC Classic Doom, which you can play on Windows 95. and then Gradius, the good old shmup.
Shmup?
The shmup. At the bottom of the list, we have infamously hard Ghosts and Goblins. Boring, but not exactly infamous Phantasy Star.
Wait, did we put Ghosts and Goblins below Double Dragon?
No, at the bottom of the list Double Dragon, a beloved classic that we malign. Smack dab in the middle of the list, we have Kirby's Adventure, the NES Kirby game that was not the first.
Yeah, that is actually probably the most middle of the list game.
Final Fantasy of Final Fantasy fame, that game with a bunch of sequels. And Super Mario Bros. The Lost Levels.
How is that one in the middle?
It's not bad.
The problem is, it didn't have the, like, difficulty ramp up that the original Mario Brothers did. And
no, it's still a good game, like, on its own, not on its own merits. It's a good entry in a franchise. It's probably the worst entry in that franchise, but it's still...
Arguably, actually, the worst entry in the entire Mario franchise.
I mean, it doesn't have Mario crying at you every 3 seconds.
Oh, I like Yoshi's Island, though.
We should start with one I forgot about, because I forgot we did this on a double episode and didn't put it on the list. But it's super important that we rank this. Super important.
Is it Double Dragon 2?
It's Double Dragon 2.
Doesn't it go up just above Double Dragon 1 by virtue of co-op?
I think it goes quite a few up above Double Dragon 2. But yeah, co-op is big. It's also got worse controls, but...
It's got way better music that doesn't make me think that I have an earworm convincing me I'm lost in some sort of hell dimension.
I think that was the first one that I got mentioned on, because I was mentioned somewhere on the realms of playing shooters with me in co-op.
The controls aren't great because attacks are direction-focused. Like, one always attacks in front of you, and two always attacks behind you.
Didn't this one also ditch the RPG mechanic for learning moves?
Yeah, and it had awkward platforming.
Yeah.
But it had sweet cutscenes and...
GRASP the handle!
But anyway, Double Dragon 2. Better than Double Dragon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Better than Phantasy Star?
Yeah.
Better than Ghosts and Goblins?
Less frustrating than Ghosts and Goblins. I mean, we're kind of reaching the point
where... By virtue of co-op.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it as a co-op experience. The platforming sucked, but it was, like, fairish.
Hey, that's the same as Ghosts and Goblins.
Fairish?
Ghosts and Goblins isn't that fair. And the platforming isn't frustrating. I meant the enemies.
I found the platforming annoying.
But like, if you jump, you have a jump button and it makes you jump and then you can control your jump.
In Double Dragon 2, you had to punch and kick at the same time. Hope you press the buttons close enough together. And then you were married to your jump arc. Unfortunately, your jump arc is like a little squat hop thing, so.
And also, Castlevania, you're married to your jump arc, but they take that into account. This has disappearing and reappearing platforms. Castlevania never did that because it knows how much of a pain in the ass that is when you can't correct.
Although, man, can you imagine that with, like, the Medusa heads flying at you?
Oh, yeah, I can. And I'm having PTSD flashbacks. Comic Zone. You know what Double Dragon doesn't have? Taking your health away when you punch things.
Yeah, but Comic Zone looks a lot nicer. I feel like it actually controls.
It's a generation later.
I
feel like the controls are comparable.
At least the concept behind Comic Zone, you know, the comic thing was at least interesting.
That's true. Comic Zone succeeds on flavor,
but
if nothing else.
I like the cutscenes in Double Dragon 2 more.
Oh, that is true.
And I like the story, stupid and simple as it is, more in Double Dragon 2. Also, Double Dragon 2 has the subtitle, The Revenge.
Double Dragon 2, Electric Bugaloo. I don't know. I'm going to have to argue for it under Comic Zone, but...
Okay, well, then I will cede to you. I disagree, but Double Dragon 2 goes between Comic Zone and Ghosts and Goblins.
And we're putting all these up on our site, right?
Yep. We are. I actually have links to the episodes. We talked about them in the list, so.
Yeah, I figured as much. I just wanted the listeners to understand that they can find the entire list up there.
Or in the show notes, most likely.
And also in the show notes, yes.
All right. Next, we have our first game for sequel to sequel month. An all-time classic, a game that named a genre. Didn't really invent the genre, but named it. Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
I think Metroid named the genre.
The genre is called a Metroidvania.
Uh-huh.
It comes from the fact that this was a Castlevania game like a Metroid. So people somewhat disparagingly called it Metroidvania. And then that became a genre.
Okay. I didn't realize it was originally intended as an insult towards...
Not even like an insult, a summation. This is more Metroid than Castlevania, was sort of the complaint, and or the plus of it.
I wouldn't call it a genre. It's really kind of this, and that's pretty much it.
Wait, Metroidvanias are super genre.
Yeah. You just don't play them.
They're like one of my favorite genres of game, actually, so...
Yeah. The Arkham series has Metroidvania elements. Calling them Metroidvanias is maybe a little too generous because they don't have a lot of backtracking. But this is super a genre. I mean, it's not like a prolific genre. It's not first-person shooters where 10 come out every year, but one or two come out every year.
I Indiegogo'd a game in this genre today, actually, so.
Doesn't beat the Indiegogo I did.
Was that the Schoolgirls Love Tentacles?
Yes.
We still haven't played that.
No, we haven't.
Although you haven't been to game night in, like, a while, so.
The one time I did have it at game night, we didn't play it.
But. Yeah. Man, where were we? Castlevania Symphony of the Night?
Castlevania Symphony of the Night is everything I wanted in a video game in 1999, the year it came out. It had Pokemon familiars that leveled up and followed you. It was an action game where you fought stuff, but you leveled up, and you had equipment, and you learned Street Fighter spell abilities. And you fight Dracula at the end. It has a story that's trying to be deep, but the voice direction is so bad it fails.
Dracula Dogen! What is a man but a miserable pile of button inputs? I mean, I argue for this game pretty high on the list. It's certainly better than Kirby's Adventure, which is one kind of nearish the top I can think of offhand.
So Kirby's apparently in the dead center.
It's one above the dead center. But I think we start at the top, because the top is Castlevania, and this is an ancestor of it. And I think it's better than Castlevania. It loses something from the old Castlevania. The reason calling it Metroidvania is kind of an insult is it doesn't have the precision or challenge of a Castlevania. You can just level grind if you want to. And in fact, because I would get stuck sometimes, I'd be backtracking, going back and forth, and there was a part of the game where I was just overleveled for everything because I grinded unintentionally trying to get through and was just beating everything up, which is cool.
Because I got lost for a while. So,
but it loses...
think that's inherently bad design. If you're lost consistently enough and long enough that happens.
It could just be that I'm stupid, which ended up being the case because I ignored the giant glowing thing.
No, so. I was pretty well lost for most of my time with this game.
See, I wasn't really lost either, and I would say it's good design because I was lost and not so frustrated I gave up. I just tried three different things, ended up alongside the castle, and ended up grinding a lot because of that.
I found the Shadow U boss, fought it like 3 or 4 times.
Oh, I forgot that was even in this
game. That's bull.
Whereas that was so easy that I beat it in the first time and forgot it was there.
Me too.
Which seems like a difference in skill rather than a problem with the game.
Is Shadow Alucard just Dracula because he's like inverse Alucard? Okay, anyway.
What is a man?
What is the offspring of a vampire? That said, I don't know that I can argue for this being better than the original Castlevania because...
Certainly not better than Doom, that's for sure.
No, I think it's better than Doom.
Well, that's because you hated Doom to begin with.
I didn't hate it.
I actively like Doom, and I think this game was better than Doom, if only for the concepts it brought to the table.
Yeah, it's like I said at the top. This is everything I want in a game stuck together. And it's not perfect, but everything comes to the front. The RPG mechanics are good. The action game mechanics are good. The boss fights are a little bit, maybe too abstract, but they're cool. And, like, they're not scary, but they have that right horror atmosphere.
Do you think anyone has ever done an analysis of, like, the meaning of each individual boss in this? I feel like
I'm sure they have. The succubus is clearly Alucard's sexual feelings for his mother. The, like, pile of flesh is...
Yeah.
Death?
Gluttony? I don't...
Yeah. Maybe there are 7 deadly sins.
The question of mortality? I feel like, on a design scale... The original Castlevania surpasses this, although I certainly had more fun with this game in general.
Yeah, I mean, like I said when we were talking about Castlevania, it is like the tightest designed game of all time, I think. That is not entirely to its benefit, This game has so much more going on, and it does sacrifice that precision of challenge, because if you find the game too hard, you can just grind for like 20 minutes and level up and then keep going. But I actually think that's a strength. If you're stuck on a combat part, you have the option of just going back and beating people up. It was also necessary because of the backtracking elements. When you backtrack through the first level, you're a god because you can kill everything in a touch, and it makes you feel more powerful.
And it also makes backtracking faster.
Yeah, and fun because these enemies that were giving you problems before are now trivial to defeat.
You know what makes backtracking even more fun?
Not doing it.
Yeah!
Yeah, see, I actually like doing it.
Yeah, I like the idea of seeing something, being like, oh, how do I get there? I don't know. And then later getting the jump boots or the turn into mist or turn into a dog and being, oh, cool, now I can go back and find out what's behind that door.
Yeah,
that's cool to me.
That's part of the fun of the genre for me, is seeing places where I can't get to and mentally noting them and then going back and getting the sweet loot therein. I feel like Dust was the most recent Metroidvania I played, and it definitely had a lot of that.
I mean, even the Batman games, I enjoy that, and I bet there's a Riddler trophy in there. I'm coming back for you, Riddler trophy.
Can you just imagine Batman going like, I bet there's a trophy back there. I should come back with a bat grappling shock hook.
I think it should top the list, but you don't?
I'm truly ambivalent on the subject, so
okay,
I would have to defer that.
Okay, then I'm going to put it on top of the list. Got to drag it all the way up there.
Such hazard.
Okay. Sorry you didn't like that game, Zach, but
it's not really a big shocker.
All right, next
three.
Another contender for top of the list, and I think it belongs there above Symphony of the Night, but there are reasons that it could go below there. Mega Man X.
Which, oh, God.
What's wrong with Mega Man X?
It's the same as most of the other games we've played. It doesn't do anything in particular. I've been thinking about this because I knew it was going to come up. Eventually, I thought it was a little bit ways out. It's not on top of the list. I don't even think it's better than Doom. I've not played Castlevania 1, so I don't know how it compares to that one, and I didn't like Symphony of the Night to begin with, so that one doesn't make much of a difference.
Like, the color of Mega Man X, it's like, that's not where I want to start. But like,
color.
When I'm comparing it to Doom, like, that is what stands out above it to me. Not that color is everything, but Doom looks ugly, and that's kind of intentional, and it's not really a problem for the game. It's still fun to shoot ugly demons, but I think Mega Man has more energy to it. That's actually what I want over color. When you're moving in Doom, it's kind of slow. Your turning is slow. You're looking at enemies that attack slowly, and that's cool because it gives you time to dodge and strafe. But Mega Man is just faster. It's more fluid. It looks like more is happening.
What version of Doom were you playing? Because you don't move slowly in that game.
Actually, I felt like Doom was a pretty slow game for being a first-person shooter.
I mean, you don't move slowly. Like, if you compare it to a real person, you're sprinting down the hall. But, like, when you turn, it's not a, like, instant sort of thing. It's not, like, a calculated decision, but it's not really fluid.
I'd argue that in terms of theme, Doom is way tighter.
Yeah, because it's hell and you're slowly descending into hell while listening to heavy metal music and fighting demons. Whereas, what's the theme of Mega Man X? Sort of what is life, but that's really lightly touched on, and it's not really a story game. Neither is Doom.
That was before the era of stories got into shooters. It was, are you a bad enough dude to kill everything around here? The answer is yes, because I have guns.
But what do you do in Doom? You walk around through mazes, which are not super complex. They're not supposed to be. And you shoot things. And okay. You dodge enemy fire. I mean, and it does that very well, but that's what you do, right?
Conversely, what do you do in Mega Man X? You run right and jump over.
You head up and left.
That's pretty much it.
You jump off walls. You fight through enemies. You have boss fights that completely change the, like, not point of the game, but boss fights feel entirely different than the rest of the level. They are a break in gameplay.
That was one of Zach's criticisms of it.
Yes, it was. But
and
I think
that's a valid criticism of that game.
The boss fights are totally...
They're different than the main gameplay. I think that's a strength because I think different types of gameplay can keep you interested, especially when they're connected. They're the same controls. It's not like a car segment in a
movie
game. Yeah, it's not a mini game.
It's not trying to drive off with a car in a game that has clearly not been designed for it.
Yeah, it is, you know, using the same controls. You are still fighting in the platforming parts, but the part of the platforming parts are to get through,
okay.
Whereas the point of the boss fights are to beat this guy.
Mega Man X fails on a fundamental level for me. And it's in a way that I don't know about the other games, but, like, Doom does not.
You had fun?
I actually had some fun with Mega Man X.
Okay.
And the reason I started to have fun was because I found out how it fails in this one aspect, and then I went back and thought about it and realized it. It has no sense of a difficulty curve because of the fact that it's a hub-based system. If you want to go through and go from one side to the other, you can. It doesn't do any. You know, you can have that. You can run the whole Buster Only thing.
Okay.
But beating one level, one specific level, will make another level piss easy to get through, so you don't actually have to worry about falling in the lava or doing anything else because you beat this level. This level no longer has a challenge. And that aspect means that the whole thing starts to fall apart. Whereas in a game like Doom, as you said, the levels start to get longer and longer, with your ammunition and stuff starting to be a little bit more tight, so you're not finding ammunition.
Clear difficulty curve.
Yeah, you don't have rocket ammo dropping out of the walls and finding it's harder and harder. I found one BFG in Doom. I didn't find them on any of the other levels because they're hidden much better, and my resources were getting a lot tighter to find stuff. In a shooter, that's how you have to have the difficulty levels. In Mega Man, because you're finding the different weapons, not only is ammo for your secondary weapons plentiful, so you don't have to, you just get those in. Oh, well, this enemy that was a challenge no longer exists, and it's the only level on, or enemy on this level. So I can just sweep through here without having to worry about it at all.
That's actually, I wonder if Mega Man games only have a hub because early Mega Man games had a hub.
Perhaps. And like Mega Man X like sort of differentiates that more because you have that starting level, right? And that's a fair point about Mega Man. Definitely the difficulty can be different depending on which level you do for first, but it still has a curve because after you beat all the levels,
it
then
has the boss castle.
Yeah, then there are like, is it 4 more levels in X or 8? I can't remember.
I think only 4.
That do have a traditional difficulty curve. And like with Castlevania Symphony of the Night, I think that's a strength because if you have trouble on a specific level, if you have trouble with a particular type of enemy, you're not stuck on it. You don't have to keep banging your head into it. You can go try a different challenge. And your reward for clearing that challenge is making a different one easier. I think it's really good design.
It's not making it easier. It's making the challenge non-existent. It doesn't
that
happen.
Making it easier?
No, the problem is you remove a challenge. You basically remove gameplay. It's like, oh, you beat this guy? Well, this guy doesn't even exist in game anymore.
Isn't that just a semantically different way of saying, oh, you can't kill all these guys, here, have a better gun?
Here, I think you're being hyperbolic, because in X specifically, there's not a weapon or item that makes the platforming easier.
Platforming in X is also not hard to begin with. I can succeed in X on the platforming aspect. That's how easy it is.
Having the dash really helps, and knowing which level has the dash in it is... It doesn't tell you.
Oh, yeah, so. I forgot you don't start with a dash. That's actually a fair knock against it, since that's such an important
you do in
gameplay
every subsequent
aspect.
Mega Man game ever made, because the dash is so useful.
Isn't it the Ice World?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is.
But you have to know it's there, and...
I didn't. I just went there first.
Exactly. It's the top left. It's the one that starts a cursor on. But
they do subtly nudge you towards the Ice World first, which I also think is good design, but it would probably be better to just give you the dash. I forgot that they didn't, honestly.
And given that it's such an essential part of gameplay, I'm kind of surprised they didn't. But, I don't know, I feel like subsequent entries in X as a series are better than this, but...
And this is the only one I've played in Mega Man X. So, well, hopefully I have those to look forward to.
To sum up my feelings on this in a shorthand, the difficulty curve is shot, because by virtue of a hub system, it doesn't work. And then they toss one in, probably on a harder aspect at the end. I didn't get that far, because Nintendo can't design a controller for...
Wait, what were you playing this on?
My Wii.
With, like, the Wii controller?
No,
or
the GameCube controller.
No,
with
GameCube controllers.
3-foot cord and pulled my Wii off my TV.
I mean, if you don't like the GameCube controller, which clearly you don't, there are other options.
I don't like any controller made by Nintendo post SNES. I think they're all terrible. That's not germane to this point. So difficulty curve shot. The platforming is piss easy, so it doesn't even... it's called a platformer. There's barely any in the game.
I feel like this has really tight and good platforming, though.
Combat, such as it is, with enemies is boring. There's no point, really. I shoot at you a couple of times and you fall over.
You have to
and
not
for
get
some
hit
reason,
first.
For some reason, I can only fire horizontally because my programming inhibits diagonals.
I mean, now
it's,
you're just
it's unethical.
No, that's an aspect because they have a lot of enemies that you have
but
to jump straight
the
up.
The game
to
is
get
designed
to.
That way, though, so I think it's fine. It's not like they're like, haha, you can't shoot diagonal, so this is gonna get you. The
made
levels
so
are designed along, yeah, which is part of the platforming element. You have to be careful about the pits, which there aren't many of. I disagree with that point. I think the combat is a lot of fun, or else I probably wouldn't like this game.
And like I said, it's just boring. The whole aspect of it, the bosses are thematic, kind of but not especially entertaining.
I think they all have different patterns, and I think that's what's fun about them. Not that this one's a chameleon. Cool.
It's not even a pattern. They're just boring.
They're
fun to fight.
They are standard video game bosses. They have repeatable, figure-outable, I guess, behaviors.
Yeah, and you have to say, okay, this is the attack he does where I can easily hit him. This is the one where I can hit him, but it's a risk, and the better I get, the easier it will be. And this is the one where I should just be defensive. That's the sort of thing I like in a boss fight.
Honestly, in terms of level of ambition, like, even as much fun as I have with this game, I have a hard time placing this above Doom, just in terms of what it did for the genre.
Oh, that's true. It took an existing formula and transitioned it to better hardware. I think it took good advantage of the extra color capability, the extra musical capability, and the extra buttons.
But I feel it's arguably worse than Symphony of the Night.
I definitely think it's arguably worse than Symphony of the Night. I just think that's where we should start the discussion.
Yeah, and I'd say in terms of what it's done for video games, I think Doom did a lot more.
That is probably true. If we're going to rank it on merit of its influence, Doom
probably... I
think
it's probably something to consider, if nothing else.
Okay, so let's start it at Doom then, since that's the game at the top of the list Zach's played. I still think it goes above Doom because, so Zach said the shooting wasn't fun, but I find it a lot more fun than Doom. Not that Doom is unfun, but Doom is you point towards the enemy and you shoot him and you dodge out of the way of his fire. Which is, I think, way more fun than most modern shooters because they're realistic and bullets kill you and bullets travel faster than you can walk, which I think is boring.
All you have to do is hide behind stuff and shoot at him when he's not shooting at you and hope he's not in cover yet.
You should play Drunken Robot Pornography. Anyway.
Oh, no, there are certainly shooters that are still in this vein, but that's beside
really
the point.
Rare now.
They're not Call of Duty or Halo, so they're not as popular.
Well, Halo's kind of in this vein, but not as much as others.
I think, actually, I hit on why I like Mega Man more accidentally here. I like mobility in a fighting game. Or not a fighting game. I like mobility in any game with combat. In Mega Man, I feel like I have a lot more movement options than in Doom. Where in Doom, I can strafe, or I can fail to strafe.
Well, by virtue of that, I think...
Anything with a jetpack?
Mega Man was out... This one was...
I think this was 95, so this would have been a year before Doom. I might be right. It might be 92.
I think Doom came out after or before this.
It may have?
At the very least, the PC hardware for Doom was not...
Yeah, PCs
not on that level yet.
Definitely outstripped by consoles at this point in history.
But... Doom was December 1993. Oh, wow. 1 week before Mega Man X came out, Doom came out.
so they're very much contemporary.
But... Also, Doom has 3D movement mechanics. Mega Man X has two.
But I feel like in Doom, you can only move two directions, right? Right and left. And you can sort of aim diagonally. I almost feel like in Doom combat, the enemy is the center, right? You're strafing around because he only fires forward. Like I was saying, I like more movement options, and I feel like Mega Man X has more. Because in Doom, I feel like my only movement option is to strafe. And in Mega Man X, I can dash, I can jump, I can just walk.
How far did you get in Doom, anyway?
I beat the first chapter, and I think I got to the final level in the second chapter.
Because they start introducing a lot more of the centaurs that actually
like
aren't
rush
just
you.
Face tank. Yeah, cloak guys, the centaurs, and... Well, no, not those guys. I'm thinking of the guys with the rocket launchers.
Okay. And, like, my favorite thing in a shooter is a dodge roll, because that's another move option. And
not very many of those have them.
No, and you tend to not be a fan of them.
I don't like third-person shooters.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do it without first-person. It's just extremely... Or without third-person.
In first-person, it's a little disorienting, because you're just, like, rolling and seeing the world to go, around, but...
I like Doom, because, like I said, Doom has a clear difficulty curve. I like the theming in Doom, and just the levels in Doom I liked a lot more to deal with.
Well, this is a matter of you like first-person shooters a lot more than you like platforms.
I also like finding where I'm going instead of go right until you run into the boss.
Or up. Occasionally you have to stop going right and go up because you have no other way to go, but
yeah.
It's always you go in the direction you can go.
Exactly.
There's no exploration. There's no nothing. There's no finding
anything. Which is why I like Metroidvanias, because they're basically this game.
Yeah, they're
exploration. But
yeah, they're a 2D space, but you have up and diagonals and you have to find where you're going. But anyway.
Oh, no.
So I think you're going to put it below Doom. You are the tie-breaking blow. Okay.
I agree. It should be below Doom, I think. But above.
Below Doom is Gradius.
I enjoy Mega Man X far more than Gradius.
I mean, yeah, it's got a progression thing. I guess Gradius does have progression, but...
You lose it so easily.
Yeah, Gradius is really, to me, it's more of a... It's not a high score game because I'm not playing it for score, but it's a high score
in
that... how far I get is my score to me.
It's a mastery game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, X fills the same niche for me. It's a game about mastery. How?
Well, clearly it's the same thing with him since he plays it before he goes to bed at night.
I haven't done that in a while, but I did it for a long time. That was my that was my lullaby for a long time.
That's I've gotten to the point where I can play X without taking a hit, and I feel I got that to that point with Gradius, but it's way more fun in X, so.
Well, like I said, X has more going on. You can dash, you can jump. Gradius, you can move right, left, up, down, and shoot.
What's right after Gradius? I don't think Smash Brothers. Okay, I don't think Mega Man X should fall below Gradius, but
I was just curious to know
what it was.
So we will put it under Doom, above Gradius.
One Mega Man under Doom.
That's three Mega Mans in Doom. But all right. Next, a game Zach liked a little bit more, Ogre Battle 64.
Oh, I love this game.
Person of Lordly Kellen.
You know, it is not in the top five, but I love this game.
I saw this on the list, and I forgot we even played this one.
Didn't you only get through the tutorial?
I honestly can't even remember. I forgot ever even playing it. I remember the Super Nintendo one way better.
I beat it again, so...
This is a game I loved when I was a kid. I bought it the day it came out on the Virtual Console. It is not very good.
Like, I love this game. I think it's good.
Is it better than the Super Nintendo one?
Oh, yeah. No, okay. It's way better than the Super Nintendo one, which is already crazy high in our ranking system. But the thing is, it's got an okay story. It's not great, but it's got twists and turns and characters. But it's nothing special. The game, like, Zach, you complain about games not telling you about mechanics. How many mechanics does Person of Lordly Caliber actually tell you about, even if you read the strategy guide?
I think the... Chaos Frame, one of the most important mechanics,
How important the Chaos Frame is pretty arguable.
Chaos Frame, it doesn't tell you about. It doesn't tell you how to manipulate or mess with character alignment or what affects character alignment. Doesn't tell you... No. I think that's it. The second one is a very important mechanic that it doesn't bother to tell you about.
And the mechanics it does tell you about are usually by going to some random podank village and talking to people, which it encourages you to do, because a lot of the secret characters are in one of the 3,000 Podunk villages that you have to visit all of them.
Certainly in Fire Emblem, I visit every talkable house.
But about half of them are guys that are related to the Chaos Frame, whether or not you have a certain level of it, but they don't tell you about the Chaos Frame at all.
The thing is, Ogre Battle 64 has three times as many levels as Fire Emblem, and every level has three times as many talkable houses as the one with the most in Fire Emblem.
It's not every level.
It's not a very clear game.
Like, the first level only has three places you can talk to, but...
The things that are good about the game, it has good progression. It's fun to see your little soldiers graduate to becoming fighters with full names and everything, and then becoming a knight, and then becoming a paladin, and then becoming one of your, like, five super dudes.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that you can rename your characters lets you get really invested in them. Captain Tyler, you won't let die.
Yeah.
Except for...
I don't know. Well, I mean, going back to what I was just talking about for... Mega Man X. I love this game, but it fails on that aspect too. You get through the second chapter, and by the end of that second chapter, you have units that are just demolishing entire enemy squads without even trying.
At that point, you either have an army that's going to win you the rest of the game, or you have a terrible army that you're going to have a bad time with.
Yeah, you need to... At that point, if you're wrecking face, you're going to be good for the rest of the game.
But
if you are struggling badly, you might as well just restart.
There are strategies that work on... early levels that are just unacceptable at late ones, and it doesn't really give you any indication of what those are. Like, undead are great tanks because they just come back to life if you die. But then everyone wields a holy sword halfway through the game and permanently destroys them with no way to revive them. And
they don't scale especially well.
Similar to everyone's first time playing a D&D campaign, you'd really have no way of knowing that they won't scale. So.
No, that's what happened to me and my brother first time we got far in this game. We had a whole bunch of undead and beasts. Found out the hard way that's not how you want to play this game.
Okay, so putting it on the list, we'll start at Ogre Battle March of the Black Queen, because it is better than that. The story's better, the goals are a little more clear, it's better at easing you in, the menus aren't quite as arcane.
It's got pretty good menus. Like, they're pretty easy to navigate, to figure out.
That's like I said, not as arcane.
Yeah, maybe...
You've also been playing this game since you were 12, and have beaten it 10 times.
Actually, I think I've only beaten it 3 times.
You've started over a large
It's like an 80-hour game. I've beaten 3 times, yeah.
Above Ogre Battle is Super Mario Brothers, and I really want to put it between the two, because, like Tyler said, he didn't even remember playing this game. And, I mean, it's more complex than Super Mario Brothers. It's got a way better story, and it gets fun quickly, but there's so much in the way of your fun. Even between every level, you've got to go through some cutscene stuff. You've probably got to go training. You've got to tool your army.
That guy's evil.
You've got to go through more cutscene stuff. And then you have to deploy all your units at the start of the game. You have to send them. And then eventually a fight happens.
I mean, which you don't control.
Isn't that part of the fun for a lot of people?
Yeah, like, I actually like...
The most fun part for me is tuning up my army. Is having my fighter advance to a knight. But, like, there's so much in between the fun bits to me. Like, that's my real problem with it.
Like, I like how this game functions as a whole. Because I like seeing little fighter dude go from soldier to fighter to paladin to wrecking face.
But that happens over the course of 100 hours.
I really want wrecking face to be a class.
I'll make sure when I get around to eventually getting, what's it called, the RPG Maker, I'll make wrecking face a class. I like it more than Super Mario Brothers. Big shock. I've beaten this game a lot. I haven't beaten Super Mario Brothers. And I probably won't. It's a platformer and I won't bother with it. But the thing about this one is, for me, the whole game is fun. Organizing my army is fun. Deploying my army is fun. And managing the combat and how I want my army to go about, oh, this unit is doing really well and they're really high level. I want to pull them back off of killing that unit, instead get another guy in there to get the experience. That kind of thing is entertaining to me in a way that running right across the screen and jumping on things is not.
My biggest problem with this game is it acquires just too much attention. It doesn't require I be making decisions all the time. It doesn't require a lot of engagement or any reflex. Not that a game has to, but it doesn't. But I have to be thinking just enough that I have to look up. I have to constantly watch it. I have to kind of pay attention to what the text is. It's just exactly the wrong point. Any less and it could be a cool podcast or watching TV game. Any more and it could be an exciting game I'm invested in. But it's just at the wrong point.
It's not a bad time to mention that I've played this game while playing XCOM and watching something at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. But it requires too much attention for that to be fun for me. I could probably do it, since XCOM is entirely turn-based. But, like, I have to think, okay, who's the guy with the alignment closest to this city that I want to send over there? Okay, oh, I better watch this fight in case I need to retreat.
I'm
not really thinking in those moments.
I don't remember this game at all. Apparently I played it, so, or at least some of it.
The problem here is utilizing that mechanic or that test you said earlier. Left her alone in a room between Super Mario and this game, which would you pick up?
Absolutely.
I would
Mario.
Pick Ogre Battle.
Yeah, I think I'd pick Mario. It's a hard choice. Like, I would look at the two. Really, it would depend on what I was in the mood for is the problem. Because they're very different games. And how long am I going to be locked in this room? Because beating Mario like three times is fun, but that's an afternoon.
That's a level in Ogre Battle.
I mean, it's more than that. It's like an act in Ogre Battle, but I think Super Mario Bros. Of the two is the one I would pick, though.
I played Mario enough to figure out enough exploits to beat it in under 10 minutes, so.
I can't say too much about it. I like Ogre Battle a lot more.
And you can master Ogre Battle. You can replay it and get better, but the first playthrough takes so long that it's hard to compare to yourself. Whereas in Mario, the world record is 5 minutes 12 seconds, and that's not going to be the first time you beat it, but you can get that high. You can master that in a way that I think is more fun.
But you can learn where all the secrets in our Ogre Battle, because the strategy guide sure as hell isn't going to tell you.
That's true. How many times did he have to play through the entirety of Ogre Battle to find all the secrets?
Like, with no information?
Yeah, with no outside information.
Oh, God.
100 years, maybe? Like, well, you have to go to a random map you've already beaten on a random, not a random, but a date that is predetermined by the game. You have to go to a city at a specific time with a specific character, and he'll be like, hey, here's a tiara. Now you can make a princess.
Royal pain in the ass.
I have trained for 100 years. Finally, I am ready. Are you a wizard? No, I'm really good at Ogre Battle.
I know all the secrets.
Ogre Battle 64 falls just short of the top 10, under Super Mario Brothers and above Ogre Battle.
Ogre Battle falls above Ogre Battle.
Well, it beat itself. That's a plus. Sequel got better. I'd like to see him make another one, but I think I'm in the minority.
I would love another crack at this. I really like
the concept of it. I just don't remember the...
It's like Fire Emblem, but not nearly as good.
It's like Fire Emblem on a much larger scale.
You're controlling entire armies instead of like a group of people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, in terms of, it's Fire Emblem's big brother in terms of skill, which is one of the reasons why I think I might like Fire Emblem so much, is I already like that game.
A last game in sequel month, another contender for the top, though I don't know that it's going to hit that, Super Metroid.
Is this the game I had technological limitations on?
Yeah, you couldn't see the edge of the screen, which is pretty important in this game, because there's lots of little, like, cubbies and holes and doors there.
That would be an issue.
This game fails hard because of the fact that it didn't
Because my TV didn't display
Because my TV was too terrible.
The sequel to Metroid, It's a really good, I'm having trouble knowing where to start because it encourages mastery in a way that we've talked about being good. It has a really good theme in the way that Doom and Doom did and Mega Man
Doom and
kind
Doom.
Of failed. It's fun. The story is like not great, but it's, I mean, it's a little something and they do cool things with it, but it's not great. But it does everything a sequel should. It feels like the first game, but adds so much more. More power-ups, more enemies, more ways to interact with the game.
More going left.
You go right in this game, too. Quite a bit.
And up. There's actually one point where your ship lands and you have to shine spark up into the corner. You can actually get there by just doing the space jump, but you can't get through. You can find it that way.
It's got lots of like hidden alternate routes, like things that seem like, oh, I can't reach that door until I get the space shoes. But actually, if you're good at the game, there's another way and you can end up like skipping a large portion of the game or just expediting yourself.
Sequence breaking.
Yeah, there's a lot of just cool secrets that if you're skilled at the game or you just try hard enough, you can find.
Or the only one I can think of that does that recently is Halo.
Arkham Asylum kind of does it, but it doesn't let you skip the game. It just gives you like alternate cutscenes and the Joker breaking the fourth wall as rewards for finding like sequence breaky stuff.
There's one part on Assault on the Control and that lets you skip like half the level on Halo 1.
Yeah, it's not a super, I mean, it's very a Metroidvania thing, but even they like to have a certain game length. The problem is developers are too proud of their work these days, and they want you to see their entire game, damn it, so they're not going to give you a way to skip it.
Well, it also costs a lot more to make a game.
Yeah, that's true.
To render all that stuff that people are going to figure out how to
skip. So that might not even be the developers. That might be the publishers.
possibly. I think it is more a developer thing than a publisher thing, because I think the first time you play Super Metroid, you don't see most of those secrets.
That
unless you're like a
true.
Savant. Because they are intentionally secret. They are hidden from you. But it's a thing where if you keep playing the game, and it kind of encourages you to by giving you very, very slightly different endings and giving you a like total completion score at the end.
That, and it's pretty damn quick. I think the very first time I ever played this game, I beat it in 12 hours.
Yeah, it's so. Like a, it should be under 20 hours the first time going through, like blashing your face against the game saying, how does I get through? is going to be that. And then you can get through it faster. The enemies are cool. It added things that the franchise still has, like the grapple beam. It fixed problems with the first game. It added that map screen and gave you the ability to select different weapons instead of having to go and re-get them.
You're much more mobile in this game. The fact it basically gives you a sprint button to run through places you've already been.
That's true. It doesn't have as much backtracking as Castlevania Symphony of the Night, but it powers you up by giving you new weapons rather than by leveling you up. And they're at specific points, usually right before you have to backtrack, so you can get through stuff.
I actually generally prefer Super Metroid because it gives you difference in mechanics rather than just difference in scope, difference in power.
Castlevania Symphony of the Night does a pretty good job of that, too. It does give you, like, the mist form, which is a very different way of interacting with the game.
My problem with the way Symphony of the Night introduced it is it all felt clumped together at the end.
Yeah, well, like I said, Castlevania Symphony of the Night had everything I wanted in 1999. I've realized in 2015 that you should maybe focus a little more. And this game is more focused than Symphony of the Night on the platforming and the getting new powers. And in some ways, the theme is better. Like Metroid, it's about being alone. It's you versus the world in like this cold, dark place.
You fight a space ghost thing, and I'm not entirely sure it's actually real or just a figment of Samus's human contact-deprived brain.
Didn't feel like it was me against the world, and it really?
It's man versus environment. Like, you're not really... I mean,
and I'm wearing power armor. Why am I worried?
Because the environment can spew lava at you.
I mean, would you make the same argument about Halo? I'm in power armor, this Halo thing's
gonna be easy. I'm also being shot at.
You eventually get shot at in Metroid.
Yeah, you get shot at. You get these, like, creepy bat things that are latching onto you and draining your power. There are threats in Metroid.
The environment is really... It has sharp, pointy teeth.
There's acid and...
Although that's one of the things that never really made sense to me in Metroid is, like, the things that do damage to you are, like, dirty water will do damage to you sometimes. You're like, I don't...
I feel like it's usually, like, acid or asphyxiation.
But how can you be asphyxiated?
You're wearing power armor.
Presumably you have limited oxygen supplies.
Okay. Actually, I'm specifically thinking of Metroid Prime 3 where acid rain damages your suit. I'm like, I just walked through lava over there, guys. Oh, no. Super Metroid tops the list for me, but I feel like I'm a little bit biased in that respect, so...
I want to put it below Symphony of the Night, but I don't know if it's actually wise. It's one of the games that's captured me the most for this podcast. I really, really wanted to beat it before we talked about it, and I did. I spent a lot of time playing it, It's the one, the Wii U tablet's battery life is bad. This is the one game I've played on the Wii U that I was like, God, no Wii U, more battery. I need to keep playing you, which makes me think maybe you're right. Should we compare it to Doom so Zach could have a little conversation? Because
I think so.
I mean, they're both games where you shoot things and that's almost, I mean, and they're both sort of sci-fi games. But they're very different. Doom is sci-fi action, like, not like Star Wars because it's a lot darker, but it's about into the garbage chute flyboy and shooting stormtroopers and Han Solo flinging himself at 1,000 stormtroopers and somehow getting out alive. Whereas Metroid is very obviously trying to descend from Alien. And because it's an empowerment fantasy in a video game, it's giving you a lot more power than Ripley had. You have a powered armor where Ripley...
You have a laser gun attached to your wrist.
But I like the... In Doom, it felt a lot more like me against the world. But then again, I also didn't get very far in Super Metroid. Because... So it just felt like, yeah, this is a one-man army type of deal. I just preferred it.
I feel like they're both one-man armies.
They are. I think why Metroid...
I'd probably take Doom Marine against Samus and think Doom Marine would probably win just by virtue of the fact that he has face-tanked hell. And walked away.
That is true, although Samus has destroyed entire planets by herself, so...
Doom Marine does destroy Mars when he leaves.
Okay, that's a good point.
I think why Metroid feels more me against the world than Doom is in Doom, you're going through a human facility and fighting humans, possessed humans, but there are still other people, and it feels like a safe place, and that's part of the theme of the game. As you go on, it's more and more hell-like until you're actually in hell. Metroid, from almost the beginning, you're on this weird alien planet and you're descending. And it's like a descent into hell, but it's a little more metaphorical, even though there is lava at the center.
Although I think the biggest reason Metroid wins out for me over Doom is going back to the argument of mobility. While X's mobility certainly didn't have enough for me to place it over Doom, I feel like Super Metroid has so many varieties of doing things.
That's a little odd for me because I feel the other way, but I guess I see what you're saying. You can freeze guys and then jump on them and shoot them.
You have the space jump, which allows you to essentially fly. You have the shine spark, which allows you to run at superhuman speeds. You can roll into little balls, although everyone's always thought that's about the stupidest ability ever.
I think it's cool.
It is the stupidest ability ever. She can curl up into a ball of the
Sonic
same size
can do that too. You don't make fun of him.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Remember, Sonic isn't presented as a power-up. Sonic is a hedgehog. Hedgehogs tend to roll up.
To be fair, in Metroid, the purpose of the Morph Ball is to realize, hey, you'll get power-ups. Here's one right now.
Also,
they couldn't program crouching.
It was about animating, not programming.
Also, she's in, like, giant clunky armor. It's really hard to crawl on all fours when you're wearing breastplates.
And one of your hands is a gun.
That seems like poor design on the armor.
Well, that's why you need the Morph Ball, so you can take the generators that are in your shoulder pads and turn them into a little ball.
I like it more than Doom.
Redesign your armor so you have two hands.
I mean, it was designed by sentient bird people. Do you really expect them to understand hands?
I like it more than Doom. You like it more than Doom. This episode is already really long. we're approaching our average episode length. So we gotta put Super Metroid on top.
I like it better than Castlevania Symphony of the Night, but...
I want to say Symphony of the Night is better, but like I was saying earlier, it's not focused. The challenge is skippable by grinding. Nice thing about Super Metroid that we didn't touch on is it does have a good difficulty curve. It starts out easy, and as you get more mobility options, puzzles become harder and enemies become tougher.
The environment, how like the different portions of the map actually lay out to an actual planet, it's pretty cool.
And it's got a map screen.
Yes, it has a map screen. Truly, we have come so far since, 78? Or 88? 87? When the first Metroid came out?
Something like that. Okay, next up, the first rail shooter for the podcast. Pokemon Snap.
Oh.
I thought he said real, not rail.
Oh.
I'm like,
I couldn't think
dark?
Of which one he was talking about.
Well, probably my favorite rail shooter of all time, too.
Star Fox?
No, Pokemon Snap.
No, I mean... Over Star Fox?
I don't think Star Fox is a rail shooter. That's probably... There are arguments that it is, but...
Very...
It's a hybrid.
It's... Okay.
Pokemon Snap is
Pokemon
okay.
Snap.
I don't know.
Ram a seal of approval. Okay.
Rail shooters aren't great as a genre because they limit your mobility, but like, I like getting high scores, and this is almost a mastery game. It doesn't have a lot of mastery involved because it's get close to the Pokemon, get it in the center of the frame, maybe use a special secret thing on it.
My problem is, I think they had enough, this concept that they had for the game was enough for about half of the game's length, and I feel like it overstayed its welcome a little bit.
Really? Because I think that it's a really short game, it's like 2 hours, but
Is it only 2 hours?
Yeah,
I thought it was a lot longer than
that.
But
the upside is that it doesn't ever say it's welcome. And as a full price game, which they actually didn't sell it at first, it was rental only when it was first released. That was kind of but like the game doesn't overstay its welcome. I really want a sequel.
I'd like to see a sequel to some of the new ones.
Especially
new
with a Wii U tablet.
Yeah, the Wii U tablet is perfect. Yeah, it doesn't overstay its welcome. It does a new thing with the rail shooter. I mean, you're not killing whatever it is you're shooting at.
And it allows you to explore your environment a little bit by throwing apples at things.
Yeah,
but
to switch the rail. You can switch the rails.
Cause an Electro to explode.
You can do different things to create different Pokemon options and stuff.
Okay, so I'm going to start at Kirby's Adventure, another colorful game. I feel like the gameplay in Snap is more fun. Like, I never want to play Kirby's Adventure again, really. It's so like light and fluffy and boring. But Pokemon Snap makes you replay its levels multiple times, and it's fun going through again.
Yeah.
Even before you get new power-ups.
I certainly agree with that.
Next is Castlevania II Simon's Quest. I don't think I'm going to get any argument that it's not better than that.
That it's not better than that?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Nah, I agree.
So next up on the Super Mario RPG. So that's a game...
It's a game where it allows Bowser to throw Mario as a weapon at opponents.
Fastball special. I don't know that... I didn't really like Super Mario RPG, but the mechanics in it were more interesting because RPGs tend to be a bit more interesting in what they do.
I mean, it was also one of the first RPGs with, like, timed hits where you could, like, press a button at a certain time.
Yeah, it's also one of the only ones that does that.
Yeah, it's mostly the Mario RPG.
Yeah, it's really a Nintendo thing.
I actually wish more had it because I feel like the combat in a lot of JRPGs is lacking.
I mean, it just adds a little physicality, and I enjoy it in the Paper Mario and Mario and Luigi games, but it's not something I feel like is missing in other turn-based games.
Fair enough. I mean, they had it for, what's his name? Squall in Final Fantasy VIII, and it felt really out of place there, so.
And Tidus's Limit Break in Final Fantasy X has it.
I don't know. This is a hard question. I really like Pokemon Snap as in my head, Pokemon Snap seems more fun. So,
yeah, like,
if you set me down and said play one or the other without any prior knowledge, I'd probably go for the RPG.
It's hard for me. I think, like, Pokemon Snap is lighter and a little more mastery-y, but, like, Pokemon Snap is easy to master.
That is very true. I really like Super Mario RPG. So,
should we get out the ancient way of debating a point?
The thing
point?
Is, okay, well, yeah.
Screaming?
No, which
one
do we
coin?
Play? Oh, no.
Oh.
Well, if I had to play one of them, I'd play Pokemon Snap, mostly because it's shorter and lighter, which is weird to say, but I guess what that really says, though, is the weight of Super Mario RPG doesn't attract,
I
agree it's there.
I was going to argue for Super Mario RPG for exactly the opposite reason, so...
Well, if you stuck me in a room and said play one, you get to play one or the other, it would kind of depend on how long I was stuck there, but
yeah,
I'd probably list towards the RPG
okay.
for something to do on a longer basis.
So Pokemon Snap goes under Mario RPG. And above Castlevania II, Simon's Quest.
Although it is certainly ambitious to make a rail shooter about taking pictures. So.
Next, a game that I want to like more than I do. Strider.
I don't want to like this game more than I do.
Nah.
Although, didn't I play the wrong version of it?
You did.
Yeah, so.
It's very Genesis. It's pretty, but the controls are so floaty.
You played the Master System version where the second boss was disappearing.
I couldn't even see what I was trying to hit.
I didn't care for this one too much. I mean, it was better than Comic Zone.
I think they super improved on the concept in later Strider games, but I think this was a rocky start and a surprise it ever got a second chance.
I'm not, but it's like it's bad from a modern lens.
Okay, that's true.
I wanted to start with Kirby's Adventure, but since Zach hasn't played that, we'll start with Castlevania 2. Do you think it's better than Castlevania 2?
Yes.
I kind of don't because...
Wait, Strider?
Yeah.
Better than Castlevania 2? I don't think so.
Because, like Castlevania 2 is, like, the opposite. This feels so floaty, my attack kind of works, hey, I'm jumping. And Castlevania 2 is utterly rigid. You will whip for exactly this amount of time. I prefer the rigidness to the floatiness.
I prefer the mobility and the attack rate of...
Yeah, you definitely have more mobility, that's true. And it is fun to jump through and kill a bunch of people with Strider, which is why I think that...
Whereas Simon's Quest, it's... Nah, I jump for 2 feet exactly, and then I can whip for 3 feet exactly for 5.2 seconds, and the enemy has a 2.1 attack. Yeah, that bores me. I'll take Blitzkrieg Strider over...
On a purely mechanical level, I feel like Strider succeeded. The problem is... Castlevania 2 has so much grinding to get the random things you need.
Okay, so right above that is Pokemon Snap. I don't like Strider as much as Pokemon
Snap. Strider is better than Pokemon Snap.
So Strider under Pokemon Snap, above Castlevania 2. Ho-ho-ho!
Poor Castlevania 2.
Ah, this next game. Now we can try trying to fill out the bottom of the list, maybe. Actually, it's probably not going to go that low. Good old Tyler suggested good old Super Star Wars.
Oh, I forgot we even played this.
Oh, God. Remember when Luke fought the Sarlacc?
With a blaster rifle?
Yeah, and invaded a Jawa's sandcrawler.
Also with a blaster rifle?
Actually, no, he's only got a blaster pistol.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yes, it is.
And then remember when Han and Chewie and Luke fought their way through 3,000 stormtroopers to get out of Mos Eisley Cantina?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's canon.
I think I got to the Death Star once. I don't remember. Man. This one's bad. It's a platformer, but it's a bad platformer. Like, the thing Zach complains about in all platformers, they're legit in this one. The jumping's bad. The
challenges aren't terribly fair. It's a bad license game. Like, one of the early bad license games.
Does that make it worse?
Yes.
I don't think it makes it worse. It definitely doesn't make it better.
License games are just bad. This was when it was setting the precedent for license games being bad.
I mean, like, not all of them, but most of them.
Name one that is good.
I'm sure I can come up with one eventually.
Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, I mean, the Batman games are pretty good. But
Spider-Man 2.
But those aren't, like, specifically modeled after a movie. So.
No, but they are licenses.
Okay, movie tie-in game, then.
Yeah, I think that's more what I was going for, is movie tie-in game. I'm sure there exists some.
I don't think this is a tie-in game, though, because it came 20 years later. It's okay, based on the movie, but it's not like, oh no, we have to get this game out before the movie is in theaters.
My problem is knowing what I do, like, knowing the movies and then playing this game and having my expectations entirely betrayed actively made the game worse for me.
Okay, so. That's fair.
I didn't have any expectations and I thought this game was legitimately bad.
You know, I remember liking this when I was a kid too, and
you were wrong.
I was so wrong.
So let's start at another mediocre platform, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Huh. That's actually a fairly apt comparison.
We have Alex's opinion. Sonic is amazing. Just for the listeners.
Look at my Sonic. My Sonic's amazing.
Give him a lick. Ah, my tongue.
Why are you licking a hedgehog?
Well, because he looks like he's blue coconut flavored. So.
To be fair, like, Sonic is bad because your expectations are defied. Like Super Star Wars. That said, Sonic is an okay platformer. He responds to jumps.
Yeah, no, I think. Even if I had no expectations going into either game, Super Star Wars is a worse game than Sonic the Hedgehog. So
below that, we have Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link.
Ooh. I like this game, so I
don't really like Adventure of Link, but I feel like it was advancing the Zelda franchise. They learned mistakes about it. They even took a few good things. I don't think Super Star Wars did anything for Star Wars.
I hate them both.
Or platformers.
And Super Star Wars is worse than Zelda 2.
Yeah, Zelda 2 at least has a cool sword fighting mechanic in theory where you duck to...
It was proto-fencing.
It was Nidhogg before Nidhogg.
Yeah.
It was a good in theory game. It didn't really work, but it was good in... It was a good theory.
Below that is F-Zero. And...
Ooh.
I want to say worse than F-Zero because F-Zero has good music, but... I mean, but the music in Super Star Wars isn't bad. It's good renditions of...
I'd say worse than F-Zero because F-Zero's racing actually works.
I mean, arguably that's true. I constantly felt at odds with the controls, with the environment, really, in Super Star Wars.
I tend to agree.
F-Zero is a passable game.
Next is ActRaiser, another mediocre platform. But I
got to bow out of this one. It's up to you guys
again,
to determine.
ActRaiser is trying new things. It's trying this sort of tacked-on city-building game.
I actually feel in terms of platforming mechanics, they're about equal. And in terms of ambition, ActRaiser surpasses it.
Yeah, I agree. Gunstar Heroes.
Another one I didn't play. Gunstar has
co-op.
And multiple weapons. And, like, there's not really forced platforming.
Well, eventually you can get the lightsaber for Luke.
You can eventually get a lightsaber in Gunstar Heroes, too, so... I feel like I like Gunstar Heroes better than...
I'm not trying to argue, by the way.
Okay, under Gunstar is Legend of the Mystical Ninja.
Damn, there are a lot of games down here I didn't play.
Yeah.
We played some pretty crappy games before you joined the podcast.
I played some pretty crappy games after I joined the podcast, too.
That is true. This is actually a fairly difficult one for me.
Again, Mystical Ninja has co-op. It has, like, this wacky Japanese thing. You can play Gradius in it.
That is true. It's like, it's such a mediocre game. I have a hard time putting anything.
My opinion says,
but I feel like Super Star Wars is in some ways actively bad.
That is very
and this
true.
Is just mediocre.
I gotta say, co-op is
a weird band-aid
thing.
It really is.
Well, it's a weird band-aid, but sometimes a weird band-aid is all a game needs.
I mean,
make
that
it
made
playable.
Battle Tanks a playable game. So,
but I think Mystical
Battle
Ninja
was fantastic
on its own merits. It didn't do anything bad.
That is true. It was actively mediocre.
So below that is Bases Loaded.
Oh,
I would honestly prefer to play Bases Loaded.
I was
going to
say, Bases Loaded is a pretty okay version of baseball. Better than Super Star Wars is a version of Star Wars.
That's true.
Then we have another LucasArts game, Zombies Ain't My Neighbors, which is, I think, where I draw the line, because parts of me want... I could get invested in Super Star Wars. I see the me that wants to beat it. I don't see the me that cares in any way about Zombies Ain't My Neighbors.
I'm kind of the opposite, but not very strongly. I feel like
I'm
I could
with Tyler.
I could probably beat Zombies Ate My Neighbors, if only because it's colorful.
Okay, so below Zombies Ate My Neighbors, then, is what you guys are saying. If that's two votes below,
I could tolerate Zombies Ate My Neighbors. I don't think I could tolerate.
Speaking of tolerating, next we have Comic Zone. Both have terrible mechanics, but like Star Wars just has bad jumps. It doesn't hurt you for jumping.
I have to go with Super Star Wars is better than Comic Zone because it's not actively trying to kill me.
I'm honestly apathetic between the two, so.
So, okay. Above Comic Zone, below Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Damn, that one fell far.
It did. It started so high, too.
Well, I started in the middle. We're running close to time, so I think last one for this episode. We got through, like, barely anything. Another,
We debated the merits of Doom versus everything.
That's
for too long.
Another nice
Doom
little
versus
anchor.
The world.
Well, that's because we were so top-heavy this time. Although, lots of bottom-heavy, too. Very little going in the middle this time. Altered Beast. Rise from your grave.
Oh,
is so meme-worthy.
God.
That I feel like Rise from Your Grave is its only
if we had
point.
If
so
we had shirts, we'd have
turn
them
into
that says Rise from Your Grave.
No, those already exist.
Oh.
Well, would you really want to be wearing shirts? Because part of this game is losing your shirts.
That's true.
So.
Tattoos? Just 10 tattoos that says Rise from My Grave?
I mean, I argue this is better than Double Dragon 2 because you turn into a fireball shooting wolf. Actually, you turn into a wolf head shooting wolf.
And
but
you turn into a different thing every level, which is...
Kind of cool,
interesting.
But the mechanics themselves are kind of screwy.
I mean, it's certainly a weak game.
So let's start with another game with kind of screwy mechanics, ActRaiser.
Not having played it, I can't say, but I think that the ActRaiser's attempt at making the city-building mechanic probably makes it a little better than Altered Beast.
To be fair, like, that's a cool innovation. This game has voice acting. It's
it
not great voice acting, but it's
that's
like,
true.
Like, I genuinely enjoy it. Rise from your grave. I mean, we were making fun of it because it's kind of silly, but genuinely a plus for this game.
That is true. That's, I don't know, like, ActRaiser looks better, although it was made, like, 5-7 years later. Oh, no. I am arguing for ActRaiser above it, if only in terms of variety. I mean,
okay,
was...
yeah. Like I said earlier about, Mega Man, I think that variety is good. ActRaiser is a little worse because they're entirely divorced kinds of games, but they have a little effect on each other. So next, Gunstar, which you're probably also gonna argue about Rise from Your Grave. Although the co-op, is a fair point for it, and it does give you different weapons, although, like I said, Altered Beast gives you different beasts with different superpowers.
That's right.
Yeah, but you gotta earn them first. That's the really weird part about it.
I mean, you kinda do in, like, power-up sort of thing. You earn
you do have to do that in
games,
Gunstar,
but
too.
I actually argue for Gunstar in terms of, like, as a beat-em-up, which one is more fun? Which one is more complex?
Yeah, Gunstar is more fun. Legend of the Mystical Ninja probably goes below that for the same reasons.
Yeah. I mean, Legend of the Mystical Ninja is actually a more solid beat-em-up than Altered Beast. My problem with Altered Beast is it's so hard to actually hit anything in a game about hitting things in the face.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's kind of gut.
So next is Bases Loaded. No one rises from their grave in that.
If I was trapped in a room for 2 days, I would prefer to play Altered Beast, but...
I agree.
Same.
Okay. So Altered Beast.
I actually tried to play it on that the handheld Genesis emulator recently. And I got through the first level, I'm like, why am I playing this game?
Above Bases Loaded, below Mystical Ninja. Okay, so that's what we're going to call it today. We only have 66 left.
Wow. So sometime next year, you'll hear episode 101.
Maybe. All right, so next time and last time, we're almost halfway through the list, guys. Almost.
On this podcast.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2015. All the games, movies, and other media I mentioned in the show are copyright their respective owners, in case that wasn't obvious. Past episodes, articles, and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to find us on Twitter, we are @ltovg. We can also be found on iTunes. If you wanted to help us out, we would really appreciate if you left us a 5-star review. No extra lives were lost in the recording of this podcast. I mean, secondly, the second one.